Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And Angie is here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My son needed a major yard cleanup at his new home. We went straight to the Angie website and found a bunch of local, reliable, and affordable pros to handle the job, and one did pronto. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today. The app and website are free to use.
Hello to the listeners of the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Welcome to our new podcast we're launching. It will be a interview series. And today we have Devin Nunes on deck for our interview. And I would like to remind everybody that Victor is the Martin and Neely Anderson Senior Fellow in Military History and Classics at the Hoover Institution, and the Wayne and Marcia Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. He is available at his website, victorhanson.com. That's H-A-N-S-O-N. And you can join as a subscriber for $5 a month or $50 a year. It's a great deal with about 2,400 to 3,000 words that are exclusive to our subscribers under the VDH Ultra material. Before we get to Devin and the interview with Victor, we need to take a break. So we'll be right back.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, and we're very excited to have Devin Nunes here. He is the congressman in our area in the Valley for the last, he's had 10 terms as congressman. And I think perhaps more interesting to me is that he held his ground in the investigation of the Steele dossier, regardless of the press and the accusations against him. So we're really happy to have him, and I'll let you take it from there, Victor.
Well, thank you. And my honor to have a friend. We both live right next to the 99 freeway, about 25 miles apart. I've known Devin for a long time. I followed his career for 20 years in the Congress, and he is the CEO of Truth Social. And because that is a radical idea to offer an alternative to Silicon Valley, I thought we'd have him on and for the first 10 or 20 minutes explain exactly what Truth Social is, how you can get on it. And, you know, Devin, I thought I'd start. We get all of this information about Facebook and Twitter and Parler and Rumble and Hive and all of these things. Why don't you just, what is Truth Social and what exactly makes it unique in this really crowded market?
Well, Victor, thank you. And Sammy, I really appreciate being on your podcast, because we are obviously we're friends and neighbors, and you've been a great mentor of mine for all these years. But also, you should know that I'm an avid listener of your podcast. I don't miss one. I don't miss
you.
I don't miss one. Obviously, with Jack and Sammy as your co-hosts, I enjoy it when I'm flying back and forth from basically California to mostly Florida. Now we're a Florida-based company, and I think that's something that is of interest to you with your background. Working at the Hoover Institute, the great one-time great Silicon Valley, why would the fastest social media startup in history decide to relocate not to California and come to California? Why did we start in Florida? But the bottom line is that True Social is a company that was started by President Trump, and it's a very simple mission statement. We're going to open the internet back up in order to give the American people their voice back and ultimately around the world, because social media is where, like it or not, if you, and everybody sees this, you go to a restaurant or a doctor's office or a baseball game, it doesn't really matter. You will see a third to 80% of the people on their device all the time. And, you know, so much so that it's really changing human nature, which is very disturbing. And Victor, as you know, I've got three young girls, and you know, it's very, very tough to keep them. They're addicted to these damn iPads, and you know, we have to take them away from them. But the bottom line is that it's the way we communicate now around the world is over the internet and through social media. So,
what I don't understand is that Rebecca Mercer and her group had just stunning initial success with Parler, however we use the French or American pronunciation. But after January 6th, there was sort of a collusionary effort to strangle it. And as I follow True Social, I see attacks on it from other Silicon Valley companies that either try to boycott it or won't do business, or hackers that have given you guys, that have gone after you or put phony accounts. The media keeps pronouncing your premature death. Even the federal government, there's some worry, I think, that the federal government will, under the Biden administration, because it's been weaponized, will go after it. How do you survive when you're dealing in such an environment and Silicon Valley has $6 trillion of market capitalization against you? And I mean that literally, against you. What's your strategy? So
very, very good question. So, you know, I like to say that Donald Trump didn't need a new company, and I didn't need a new job, but the mission to give the American people their voice back is the most important issue at the highest level. And I had this conversation with many of my former colleagues in Congress, many people in the media, and including with you, Victor. But I was one of the first people to actually catch these tech tyrant companies doing what's called shadow banning. So back, you mentioned earlier the Russia hoax in the introduction, Sammy did. Yeah. And during that time period, I didn't have any way to get my message out because I was getting, you know, dozens and dozens of fake news stories every single day being bombarded. And the only way I really had, there was a few legitimate journalists out there that I could go to that would do real investigative reporting. But that was fine. It was easy to work with them and they could push it down. But then what you'd see is when you went to Google search those stories, good luck. You couldn't find them. And so I had no choice but to, I'd have to go to use social media, which I had Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I quickly discovered that I was being shadow banned. And so we caught them doing that, I think, in late 17, early 18, which is right in the heart of the Russia hoax scandal that we uncovered. And so I started to look for alternatives. And you mentioned Parler. I was the first Republican to go to Parler and get an account. And I watched it just take off to the moon.
Yeah, I remember that.
I quickly had more followers, more engagement than I had on all the other platforms combined. And it was really a breath of fresh air. And I started to learn and see the landscape that you can have all the money in the world, but you can't stifle free speech. And Parler was growing without Donald Trump. without any major Republicans, without the new, you know, even the conservative or center right news media outlets didn't initially go to Parler. And even in the end, ultimately, the story ends with Amazon was the big culprit, but Amazon cut their cords and knocked out their servers. And boom, they were, you know, sent to the dustbin of history, as they say.
So I've been following Truth Social in the first, say, the hectic 90 days. And it seems like the media have these op-ed writers and that are, you know, they're working with the hard left and they have these fake news stories that your guys are failed, you're broken, there's an investigation, and they're trying to strangle you in the crib. Are you in your adolescence now where that's impossible and that you're growing at such a rate that they're going to have to get with it and accept it?
Yes. Yeah, so what we did, so I went to Parler, saw that take off. Yeah. I also, as you know, I had my own podcast and I had to create it. I started my podcast. I was the first congressman, I believe, or close to the first to actually start a podcast. And I didn't do a podcast because I needed more to do. It was the only way that I had that people could hear directly from me. They could sign up, get my podcast, just like they do with yours. And it was my way to get around the fake news. And I think that I'm probably the first political player in history, at least at the congressional, at the federal level. And you know this very well, better than anybody, Victor. I cut off all the fake news. I mean, even the local media, I completely cut them off, right? There was no way, you know, and I had told them very clearly, you remove your fake news stories or I'm gone. Like, I don't talk to you, period. And it drove them absolutely batty. And of course, I'm in numerous lawsuits with many of those news agencies now, but I don't think there's anyone who has ever done that. And yet, you know, I have been very clear to my former colleagues and to, you know, anyone who is center right, who doesn't want to be politically censored. The longer you talk to the fake news, the longer you don't go to companies like Truth Social and Rumble, you're just feeding the beast. So when I was doing that podcast, Victor, I talked to Dan Bongino, and he said at the time, he's like, man, your podcast is crazy. It's doing really, 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 really well. And he says, you got to do video. And I said, okay. You know, and I said, and he told me about YouTube. And I said, all right. You know, I didn't know any better. And so I started doing a video simulcast on YouTube. And Victor, I didn't know. I thought, okay, 9,000 followers on YouTube. I thought, oh, great. 9,000. It sounds pretty good. I didn't know any better, right? But then what I noticed is every week, my views, even though I was sending this out via email to my followers all over the country and around the globe, my views on YouTube, massive site, were actually going down, Victor, while my audio listens were going up. And I, you know, I'm not a podcast guy or a media guy, but I told kind of my team, I said, something's seriously wrong here. Like, this is impossible, right? Look, I know that maybe I'm not the best personality, media personality, and maybe I suck, but I can't suck that bad, right? To where, yeah. I mean, if there could have been negative views, it got to the point, Victor, you know, my family, I've got a huge family around here. My family would at least hit the play button on YouTube, right? So that at least I would get a play, right? But I was getting down into the low hundreds of views. So I went and I said, look, let's just find a damn video player anywhere. Let's just check them all out. So we found this company, Rumble, that was a small video player company in Canada. And it was funny. I called up we got the account. We checked it out. I called up the CEO of Rumble. And at first it was kind of funny because he thought he was under investigation by the House Intelligence Committee.
Wow.
And then he later tells the story. Then he thought, oh my God, what does this guy know? It sounds like, why is this guy even on the Intelligence Committee? Because I asked a very basic question to him, which was, hey, Chris, I just want to know if I put my video to Rumble and then somebody go and I send out that link, one, will the link work? And two, will the, you know, if the link doesn't work, will it, will you confirm that if I go in and search Devin Nunes podcast, will it actually come up? And at that point, Chris says, what the, you know, he's thinking, and he later tells the story. It's pretty funny. He thought, he immediately went from thinking he's under investigation to, wow, this sounds like, does this guy not know how technology works? And I said, no, Chris, I said, go to, you know, go Google my name, go to YouTube right now and try to find my podcast. And that was a holy crap moment for him, because he quickly said, it's not here. And he thought that, he's like, are you sure you're posting your podcast to YouTube? I said, yeah. And I sent him the links, which he was able to see, but you couldn't find it on YouTube. So that was a shocker and an eye opener for me, that, and for him. And look, long story short, I went from, and so remember, I had been on YouTube, you know, I'd been posting there for, you know, several months, and in 3 weeks, Victor, three podcasts later, I had, remember I told you I was 9,000 followers on YouTube, 35,000 followers on Rumble, a site that no one had ever heard of. And I had 35,000 followers. So much so that then the people at Rumble thought that, man, I must be doing some like covert operation using like the NSA to get all these followers, right? He thought they were bots or fake people. And they did a whole assessment. But the thing was, Victor, it started to skyrocket from there. And in 4 months, I had nearly 400,000 followers, and the rest is history. Now I'm like at 1 million followers between my two accounts on Rumble. And as you know, that's impossible. YouTube has, you know, billions of users around the globe. How can a fairly well-known political person, you know, from California, the largest state in the union with a national following, how can he throw up a video and, you know, this only be seen by, a few hundred people. But so that's kind of how I got into this.
But, and, you know, you've had all that experience of what they're like and what they're capable of and what their agenda is. And then you have a force multiplier effect of Donald Trump, and they have an irrational. I mean, they were angry at you for exposing everything from the stupid ping fable in Trump Tower to the dossier to the whole collusion stuff. But they despise the very sight of Donald Trump. So when you think of your experience and you think of what they're going to do to Trump affiliation, how do you avoid the fate of Parler? That's what I'm trying to see. I mean, the odds are so huge, and yet you're still growing. And I don't want to. I don't think our audience needs to know how many followers you have, because that's a business secret. But you obviously didn't get strangled in the crib. So how do you? Are you just going to grow organically, like you said your podcast did once you got in Rumble, and you're going to be on a trajectory they can't destroy? Or what's the strategy?
Well, look, it's real simple. And this is why when President Trump called me to ask me to come and run the company, it's why I already knew this was going to be a success, because I had watched it with myself in Rumble, myself on Parler, with virtually no other major players at all on either of those platforms. And I watched it skyrocket. So I knew there was no question people will flock to just come to have free speech and not be censored. So the bottom line here is that we have built this block by block, and we're not relying on any of these tech tyrant companies, none of them, zero. So we're uncancelable. So that's why it's driving them absolutely nuts. There's no way that they can stop us, because we're actually partnering with Rumble. Rumble has built out a cloud. We're using theirs. So we have data farms with them, server farms. And, you know, they, no matter how hard they try, they can't cancel us. The best they can do is write numerous fake stories about us and attack us and smear us. But, you know, ultimately, every day we grow and we continue to grow. And, and look, we're only on Apple right now and a web browser, so you can get us through any device. We're not even approved yet on the Google Play Store. And we are, like I said, nobody will write this, but we've got to be the fastest growing social media company in history. Nobody could rival us for the first few months that we've been.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car.
you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Devin, before I go over, I want to ask some questions about your congressional career. But if I Google, as I did about an hour ago, all of these attack stories that it's failing, there's a waiting list, a lot of them are dated. I mean, they're from April. And I noticed one thing, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I shouldn't say that, you obviously have, that the sheer number of negative stories is declining now, and they're kind of, it's harder to find them than it was 6 weeks ago, which tells me that, as you say, you're getting successful. But where do you think True Social will be, let's say, at Christmas time? I don't need to know the exact number, but what will be its presence on social media?
Well, look, the big thing we're waiting for right now is to be on the Google Play Store. That then rounds out the platform, because then, you know, you can get a Google, an app for your Android phone versus having to go through the web browser. And we already have a cement hold. And I like to kind of say, to use military terms, but, you know, we're trying to establish a beachhead in this world, which we have established, that cannot be destroyed. And the last part of building that beachhead is to be on Android, so people can get the app on Android. So the app's built, it's waiting for approval. The next step is to open up in other countries. And this week we are opening in the United Kingdom, and obviously a very interesting time in the United Kingdom. They've had a lot of censorship issues there also. And that'll be our first, this is our first foray into a foreign country, and then we'll continue to expand from there. And like I started out with, we're looking at the best of Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, which is where the users are. A lot of people have been fixated on Elon Musk and Twitter. And what the fake news has basically, you know, refused to report is President Trump and I were both very clear. Like, look, our mission is to open the internet back up. We hope Elon buys it. We also said from the beginning, I said it was a house of cards, and didn't know how it was going to work. But if Elon Musk could, you know, he couldn't make Twitter any worse. And if he could buy Facebook and TikTok, that'd be great too. And of course, President Trump said the same thing, that he supported Elon Musk buying it. But then, of course, as Elon Musk started to do his due diligence through the process, he realized what we already knew and what I knew from, you know, just my prior life dealing with social media companies. There just aren't any normal people are not on Twitter. It's a place for celebrities and sports figures and corporations and political hacks and left-wing journalists. And then when you put on top of that they censor anybody that's on the right, it just drove all those people out of there. So, you know, we are trying to take the best of all of these platforms, put it into one and make it very simple, very intuitive. And look, we have that right now. There's probably not an easier platform for someone to use than ours, because we do very few things, but we do them very, very well. And we're building out the rest of those features. So that is essentially, and it's a long way to get to your question, but we are our kind of, you know, ability to establish that beachhead and be a place that doesn't censor politically, be family friendly, and not be cancelable. You know, it gives us a pretty good spot to be. And that's why that's been the key to our success. That's why we have so many users already to date. And, you know, I can this is not a trade secret because it's out there publicly, but, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, 3.6 million followers already in just a matter of a few months.
And you survived sort of the beachhead attack that killed Parler, the depriving of access to apps. And that was,
And look, remember with what, you know, Parler's mistake was that, and I love them and I worked with them and I feel horrible about what happened to them, but their mistake was, is they went out and heavily relied on dozens of these big tech companies to build that company. And we learned from that and we've done the opposite. So we're building slow. We build block by block, but we can't be shut down. So the best that they could do, and the irony of this is that we're in a propaganda war in this country and around the globe where the left is controlling not just the media, the schools, all the stuff you talk about on your, on your show. But I think most importantly, and this is lost on people, is the filter, the funnel of how all that information flows to the human being is being done through social media. And that's why I have said from the beginning, this is our biggest challenge. You cannot win any war, much less a propaganda war, if you can't even communicate with each other. And so that's going to be, you know, like I said, that's going to be our strong suit here. And that's why we're going to continue to grow, because these companies, they can't help themselves. They're so woke, they've gone absolutely bat, you know what, crazy.
Yeah,
with stuff that they're promoting, the censorship that they're willing to do. To their own, to their own detriment. I mean, Twitter is the best example of that, where it's been overrun with spam and bot accounts that, you know, they may never admit this, but they promoted that. I mean, there were firms out there, Victor, and I bet they don't talk about it now, but, you know, just a few years ago, you could go hire firms, these kind of dark money firms that could go out there and get you followers and likes, and they post on your account, and these big corporations would hire those people. And what happened was, is that they allowed the Democrats and the left in this country to do exactly the same thing while they shadow banned everybody else. And look, we can go into that, but that was all started. Donald Trump became president of the United States because he outfoxed them on social media. He used Facebook and Twitter and Instagram to get elected in 2016. And Hillary Clinton, all these hotshots, didn't even know it was coming. And he was able to do it because at that time, there was very little censorship on those platforms.
And there was not. He even created a kind of new Twitter. I don't do Twitter, but he had a kind of a lingo or a rhythm that no one had done before. He would say things like, Mitt Romney, once again, flailing, and then he would put a period, and then he just put one word, sad or pathetic at the end. You remember that? And that everybody was bizarre. And then that started to be copied, that method of tweeting.
Yeah. Just to finish up that point, and this is well documented, Obama in late 2016, after the election, and Zuckerberg, they both had conversations where they started about that Donald Trump won because of fake news. They developed the term fake news, not Donald Trump. And, you know, funny enough, he turned it on them and basically labeled them fake news. But that's when the censorship started, and it got worse and worse and worse. And you can fast forward to 2020, and it ends with the Hunter Biden laptop from hell being buried by social media and all the media, but for sure social media. And then, you know, that was the New York Post who broke that story, by the way. It ended with Zuckerberg spending nearly $500 million in the election in basically only toss-up states. And it ended finally with Parler being destroyed and Donald Trump and millions of other Americans being kicked off of all platforms. It is so sinister that we're only at the beginning of this, but history is going to look at, this is a very dark chapter in American history that I see starting in 2015 and 16, when Obama and Clinton engaged the FBI and the Department of Justice to spy on the Trump campaign, smear the whole Republican Party with this Russia nonsense, And it ultimately led to fake impeachments, the Mueller investigation, and kicking people off of social media. We're in the middle of this dark chapter of American history, but we're, as you know, because you talk about it a lot, this is a dark place that we are at right
now. No, it is. And if we're going to take a break right now, but if our listeners really want to get a nice synopsis of what Devin Nunes just outlined, the best way to do it is hear it right out of the horse's mouth from a leftist, Molly Bell. She wrote a Time magazine gushing, arrogant, celebratory argument of what we did in the 2020 election. Go read it. It's a Time essay. And in it, she uses the word conspiracy, as in good conspiracy. And she outlines the dark money that was used to influence precincts and to absorb the work of registrars. She brags that she even says that this is what was really striking, is that they even modulated, as you remember, Devin, she brags, they modulated the demonstrations so that the demonstrations kind of cooled as the election wore on. And it's one of the most disturbing articles I've ever read. But we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back, and we're going to shift focus. We might have a couple of questions, and then we'll shift focus to finish our interview with more about the Russian collusion hoax and Devin's career as the House Intelligence Committee. And we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with Devin Nunes, and we've been talking about the new social company that he's the CEO of, the Trump-affiliated Truth Social. Devin, I want to make a point, and maybe you could elaborate it. Before this all started, what I remember is you came up to the Hoover Institution, you spoke to the Military History and Contemporary Conflict Group, and I distinctly remember, and that group that I chaired has a lot of ideological diversity in it, and some of the most adamant Never Trumpers were in that group. But what I remember is you were warning that in 2012, 2014, that Russia was a potential danger because it had a tendency to want to intervene. But my point is that you were trying to warn people that the reset under Hillary Clinton, continued by John Kerry, Barack Obama, was a very dangerous thing to do, and that people were inordinately appeasing Russia and empowering it. And do you remember that period? And what I'm trying to get at is that when you then said, the dossier is fake, the FBI was improperly using him as an informant, he's a foreign national, his sources are probably Clinton retreads, there's these firewalls that we can't get to because of the DNC, the Perkins Coie, the Fusion GPS. When you brought all this up, all of a sudden, they created this construct that you were soft on Russia after you had been the one trying to warn everybody that Russia was capable, if it wanted to do a lot of damage during election periods.
Oh yeah, Victor. And I think it had it not been for two op-eds that I had written in around the 2014-15 timeframe, and then ironically, an interview that I gave, a live interview that I gave on CNN in the spring. And remember that date, spring of 2016. Had it not been for that, I think they would have put the full weight of DOJ and FBI investigating me and Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee. But they just couldn't get around that, though that was out there on the record, also through congressional letters that we in correspondence that we had sent. But look, I had no idea that this was going, they started this Russia nonsense in 2015 and 16, going after Trump, which ultimately became the Republican Party. So they were going full blown smearing behind the scenes at the Department of Justice, the Trump campaign, at the same time, by the way, that I came out publicly on CNN and said the biggest intelligence failure since 9/11 2001 is our inability to understand Putin's plans and intentions. And at that time, you look back and it was a big statement that I made, and it quickly got picked up a little bit by the fake news groups and then immediately just smoldered. Now, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee just came out and said it's the largest intelligence failure since 9/11, and the media just ignored it. But thank God I had done that. I had done that interview, because little did we know that Obama and his DOJ and the Clinton campaign were in full motion framing the Trump campaign and the Republican Party to smear them with what they were guilty of. They were guilty of everything that you see now. We're paying the price because of the stupid reset that started with Hillary Clinton, the Benghazi fiasco then the Syria fiasco, and look, Victor, for all the billions of dollars, this is not rocket science. How could we not know that Vladimir Putin, one of our biggest adversaries, where our military is positioned to defend against this nuclear power? How do we not know that they were going to go into Syria, Libya, and then ultimately Crimea?
I know.
I wasn't saying anything that was rocket science here, but by that time, by 2016, holy crap, am I the only one out here that's seen this? And I felt an obligation to go out. I didn't like to smear or call out the military and intelligence, but I had no choice in 16 because it had gotten completely out of control. If I didn't say something, who was? So it's the classic
projection
of this Marxism, where they accuse you of what they actually were doing. And I think now that it's all been unraveled, what you see is Biden's were getting money, Clinton Foundation was getting money, and they were looking for anything and everything. They probably assumed that one of those adversaries had the Clinton emails, and they said, wow, what an easier way that we have to do. And just in case these Clinton emails come out, which, by the way, they never came out. The emails that came out were basically nothing, but I think they were afraid of that. And they got the FBI and the DOJ to start this whole investigation based on that, Trump was coordinating with Putin to get these, and that was to cover up.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
What they were afraid of. And that's what it was all about.
I think everybody realized that Vladimir Putin is aggressive when world oil prices are high and he has cash and he senses appeasement on the part of the United States. That's why when the Bush administration had George W. Bush in 2008, oil was high. We were in internal disunion. And Bush's ratings were where Biden's were. He went into Ossetia-Georgia, and then he went into Crimea and Eastern Ukraine in 2014. Oil prices were high. Obama, remember the Seoul, South Korea, 2011. If Vladimir will just give me some space, it's my last election, then I'll be flexible on missile defense. And they kept their bargain. People forget about that.
Right.
Obama dismantled missile defense, and Putin kept his bargain. He behaved until after Obama was securely reelected, and then he invaded. But it's one of the weirdest things in the world. I know the frustration that everybody has, especially you. When you looked at Trump, that was the one period between 2000, if you look at 2008 and 2014 and now 2020. So 3 out of 4 administrations he invades. And he doesn't during Trump. And then you think, well, Trump was accused of collusion. But then you look at the record and you think, wow, he killed those 200 mercenaries in Syria. Wow. He got out of that asymmetrical medium range missile deal. Wow. He's upped the sanctions on the oligarchs. Wow. He poured oil onto the world market and helped crash the price. Wow. He sold Javelin offensive missiles to Ukraine that the Obama administration wouldn't do and Biden wouldn't do at the beginning of his administration. And then you think, well, he was trying to reset the reset where John Kerry had invited for the first time in, I guess, 45 years, Obama, Secretary of State, had invited the Russians into the Middle East to help them, quote unquote, find WMD. So it was frustrating. And you're absolutely right. They appeased Putin. They seemed weak. And then they accused everybody else of what they were doing and called it collusion. And I don't know how this is all going to end, Devin, but I don't know what Durham is going to do. But I would like your opinion. When it's all said and done, and you look at all the damage and wreckage of lives, Papadopoulos, Carter Page, all of the FBI, Comey's 245 times, I can't remember, under oath, Kleinsmith forging a document, James Baker's activity, Lisa Page, the stroke, text, the FBI losing phones records, John Brennan and James Clapper both having lied under oath to the Senate and then going to work as analysts where they were kind of winking and nodding about their security clearance knowledge. Where do you think it all ends? What do you think people are going to say, or what can we do to make sure it never happens again? Well, break up the FBI, put it in Kansas City or something?
Well, going back to, I think you had an important point. We're not nearly through any of this yet. As much as people just want things to go back to normal, we want to see America, we want to see, hey, people have their political differences, but, we don't need to be living where there's essentially two Americas, where you've got essentially the city states, New York, LA, San Francisco, you name it, Chicago, versus everywhere else. And in the process of that, you have the government, which is now the federal government, and these governments within these blue states are weaponized. They've weaponized the Department of Justice. They weaponized the intelligence agencies. Now you talk about it all the time, what they're doing with the military. It's a disaster. It's nothing short of a disaster. And look, I want the light at the end of the tunnel, but right now I'm telling you, it takes vigilance and execution of good people doing the right thing for the right reasons. So we started out talking about Truth Social. Donald Trump had no choice but to create his own company. I felt it was my obligation to leave Congress to run this company because we have to at least get communications with each other. And so where do we stand right now with this? You've got essentially slightly less than half the population. You could, looking at different polling, you can't believe them all, but slightly less than half the population knows what the DOJ and the dirty cops of the FBI were up to. They know Clinton, Obama, Biden were all involved in smearing and framing Donald Trump. Now, that's a good thing. But on the other side, you still have over half the population, at least the last point I saw, that thought, well, Trump and Republicans must have had something to do with Russia, right? Yeah. So you've got, obviously Durham. I don't think Durham... My take on Durham is that he's done a very good job and can use a very thorough job. He's well aware of the political atmospherics. He has to be. My guess is he didn't want to bring the Sussman case to trial. My guess is that he believed, and rightfully so, that any normal human being in that position, when they are guilty as hell, would essentially cooperate and either plead guilty or become a cooperating witness. But so I think Durham must have, and maybe someday we'll learn about this, but Sussman obviously was afraid of maybe disappearing himself because, he essentially, they put all their money on a DC jury to acquit him. And this is more of the dark chapter. Like, what Republican is going to bring any case and have a chance at a fair jury trial in our nation's capital? If it's political at all, you're going to lose. Like, whether it's a civil case or a criminal case, you're going to lose. And that's a problem, right? And look, and you can go to, and it leads all of this that's happened. Where are we now? This just happened recently. You have assassination attempts on Supreme Court justices. You have Supreme Court justices being targeted, bounties put on their head to identify them if they're eating at a restaurant in Washington, D.C.
And the Department of Transportation secretary saying that's okay, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, so all of that is happening. This is so we are nowhere near the end. We have this additional Durham prosecution coming up in Northern Virginia against Danchenko, who was their token Russian, who happens to be connected to the left-wing Brookings Institute, who happens to be connected to Fiona Hill. Remember the star witness?
Yeah, I do.
State Department that led to the phony Ukraine impeachment stuff that I had to deal with. All of these people are interconnected and interrelated, including the judges. And so, look, I think that sadly said, I think it gets worse before it gets better, because judges, that judiciary branch of government, the legislative branch is completely destroyed. Pelosi is running like nothing I've ever seen. I was there for 20 years, never seen anything like this. Creating show trials, special fake committees that no one, the founding fathers, never would have thought this would have been possible for a show trials like this to be happening in the House of Representatives. You've got, Jan 6 rioters are being treated completely differently than all the Antifa riots that went on all over the country in 2020, including an attack on the White House while Donald Trump was president and was there.
May 31st, they had to put Trump in a bunker. They Secret Service were scared they would break through.
Yeah, I mean, they just about did break through.
Yeah, and Lynn Cheney hasn't talked about that at all.
Yeah, and then you had the RNC acceptance speech that because of COVID was given in the on the grounds of the White House. I was there, Victor. I had trouble, like many people did, leaving. If it wouldn't have been for a retired NYPD police officer who was armed, that myself and a few others that had left the grounds, we were about ready to be attacked. If he wouldn't have stepped in, he was there providing security for one of the media companies.
That was when Rand Paul and his wife were surrounded, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many people. So, yeah. I mean, that happened. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if that police officer, retired police officer, wouldn't have been there. And I'm talking about just in my case. So the last thing standing right now, the executive branch, obviously, with the woke military, the corrupt DOJ, all of that stuff. So executive branch is screwed, the legislative branch is screwed, and the judiciary branch is screwed right now. And so you would hope that these judges would step up, but I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing it that the judges are making decisions. If you're a left wing, if you were appointed by Obama or now Biden, Obama or Clinton, you're going to do the politically right thing. And I don't, we could get an example after example. If you're a Republican judge, if you fall into the never Trump and you watch the fake news and you haven't figured out yet that, the Washington Post, the New York Times, all these are tools of either billionaires or corporations that are part of the propaganda machine. If you're listening to that fake news and you're a judge, just like my former colleagues, my own Republicans, you're a fool and you're destroying the country to listen to what's, because it's all propaganda and you only have to do the best case study. And I've been through a couple of them now, right? Whether it's Russia, the Russia hoax, whether it's the Ukraine impeachment hoax, or whether it's being the CEO of True Social and watching, if somebody goes through and looks, if you just, like we were talking about earlier, if you just do a Google search and go back and look at the stories, I mean, it's like you're living on a different planet. You would not know that, that we have incredible engagement, that people that have left Twitter, left Instagram are doing far better in engagement on our little platform just as it's in its infancy. You wouldn't know that. And so the judiciary is kind of that last wall of defense. They are hopelessly in bad shape. The fact that you can't even get the Department of Justice to go out and prosecute these guys and investigate these guys that are left-wing groups that are putting up bounties to out a Supreme Court justice that's sitting in a restaurant. And Victor, as somebody who, the last 5 years, before I left Washington, D.C., even the times I've been back since I left Congress, Victor, I was down to, and I won't even say where I would go, I was down to only three restaurants that I could go to out of fear of my own security and my and people that I was with security. So that's now happening to Supreme Court justices there. You know, it was all fun, you know, all fun and games. Oh, well, that's Devin Nunes. He's a Trump guy. He's a Russian agent. You know, all the bullshit that they would say. It was all fine and dandy then. Well, now all of a sudden, because that was accepted, I mean, Victor, you know, how about the people that were outside of my house that targeted my wife and my children? So let me, all that happened. I'll just, just to kind of close this up, the short-term hope right now is that there is a red wave in November and Republicans can get back control, and they have to immediately set up some type of commission or special committee that is going to issue subpoenas almost day one to go after all of these corrupt issues that we've just run the gamut on here on your show between January 6th, the Russia hoax. All of that has to be looked at in turn, and these people have to be investigated, including Mueller, who should be investigated, and his whole team should be investigated. One of the biggest frauds in American history. That's nobody's talking about that. And also this January 6th phony stuff where Pelosi and others, including probably our own federal government, are culpable for this. So the Republicans in the House, at least, are going to have to quickly move like they've never moved before and put in a plan and execute on the plan and start issuing subpoenas immediately to hold the DOJ and other executive branch and either former or current sitting legislative leaders and maybe perhaps the judicial branch to hold them accountable for letting the country go down the toilet like it's been doing the last few years.
So I think all of our listeners, we've talked about this before, whether we go the Old Testament or New Testament route, that's kind of a false dichotomy because you can do both. But if the Republicans do take the House and they do take it with a sizable majority, and maybe they take the Senate as well. So I think being Republicans, nobody wants Kevin McCarthy to tear up the State of the Union address when Joe Biden hands it in the way Pelosi did. And probably nobody wants a Republican to talk about getting rid of the filibuster when they have a majority, as the Democrats are doing now. And nobody wants to pack the court in 2024. But what you're saying in conclusion, Devin, is that these people on the hard left, if you just say, well, those are bygones, let's move on, the Romney McCain sort of generic Republican approach, there's no deterrence, and they will do it the minute they get back in power. And that we need multi-investigations of everything, maybe from the Biden family, what was the FBI doing with the laptop, the diary, the way they went after journalists. All of this needs to be investigated in a muscular way we've never seen Republicans act before, except in a few cases in your committee and others. And that's what you're saying, that if they take over, you're hoping that they send a lesson that you can't do this in America. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And remember our investigation, which is one of the more successful congressional investigations in history, even though hardly anybody's been convicted so far. But remember how small we were, right? And so they have to do investigations that nobody has really ever, contemplated, at least in modern history. I mean, maybe you could go back to the Church Commission, perhaps, that created the intelligence committees in the Congress, maybe the 9/11 Commission. But I think this has to be much bigger than that, because it's the House that's probably going to be the only one to do it. And it would have to be put together at such a scale that most people haven't thought about before. And I know that, the leaders in Congress that I know, are at least, they understand what has to be done. But I think, they have to first, having been there, they have to first win these elections, right? So you have to, you have to deliver on winning in November, and then you're going to have to quickly turn, and you're going to have to create some type of commission that's never been created before, that's going to go after these, and it's going to go basically target at the end of the day. It pretty much all starts and stops with the Department of Justice. I mean, they're the one that have ultimately, you know, I mean, they control the FBI. They're the ones that have used, you know, that are willing to use the other intelligence agencies. They're the ones that decided to cooperate with the Clinton campaign, Obama, the Jan 6, you know, the corrupt guy, the corrupt stuff going on in Washington right now. They're the ones who have decided not to go and prosecute these people that are camping outside of justices' homes. They're the ones who, you know, haven't been able to find the leaker that leaked the decision early on that overturned Roe v. Wade. So there's so much that has to be looked at. It's going to have to be on a scale they never thought of. And plus, you know, they're going to have to hold, you know, I agree with you, Victor. I think, you know, tearing up State of the Union and that sort of stuff is going to be, you know, that's not going to work. But there's clearly several, because Pelosi made it the norm, right? And the Democrats, there's going to have to be, sadly, and I say this sadly, but multiple impeachments of
that was
of
my next and final question. So let me finish our interview with just two questions about the reestablishment of deterrence. The first question is, should Kevin McCarthy say with great reluctance, I don't want to do this, but Speaker Pelosi established a precedent. So for 1 year, I'm going to prohibit certain extreme members that I feel are not interested in governance. I'm not going to let them serve on committees in the fashion that they did to Republicans when they were nominated.
I think without question, you know, look, I was there when some of our members were kicked off of committees. I was in Congress still, you know, couldn't believe that we had gone down that far in this country and in our legislative branch of government. And it's got to be far more than that. I mean, it has to be, as long as Republicans have control, and I'm not going to name names because I'll leave that. I mean, obviously, I have my opinions of who it should be. But look, I'm out of there and I'll leave it up to my former colleagues. But there are probably dozens of Democrats that shouldn't serve on any committees. And not because that's not the way America should be, but it's what they created. Yes. And look, you know this from being in California, Victor, and we didn't even cover that on your show today, but the only thing that moves leftists is extreme pain. And you see that in California, right? The best example is the one that's right in front of us now. We're about ready to run out of power, out of energy. They've been shutting down the last two nuclear power plants. One got shut down now. The last two reactors are sitting over on the Central Coast nearby us. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, Republicans, I basically led the way saying, what the hell, you guys are going to run us out of power? Been stating the obvious here. You shut down these reactors here over the course of the next couple of years, we're going to be out of power. Like the lights are going to go out. And I don't think it wasn't until the essentially woke corporates that control the monopolies here in California, energy companies, went to Newsom and the Democrats and said, we're going to run out of power if we go through with this. And all of a sudden you've seen Newsom, we're going to keep these reactors open. So it's only at that pain level, sadly, that trained Marxists will change behavior. So you can call it a deterrent. That's probably a good word. But McCarthy and the Republicans are going to have to say, look, sorry, you guys are out.
And that's going to include, as you mentioned, impeachment. That would include Article, even though there would not be a conviction because it's unlikely the Republicans would capture 60 seats in the Senate. But that would include, say, articles of impeachment that Joe Biden failed to his oath of office to enforce immigration laws, or that Mayorkas should be impeached for failing to enforce statutes. He deliberately undermined them, or some of the people in the DOJ's misuse of the FBI for political purposes. Would that also come up, you think?
Well, they've made the norm. The norm now has been made because of their behavior. The norm now in this country is that we impeach presidents. I mean, that's just the norm, right? Because, it was completely false. What they did on Ukraine, you take the Ukraine impeachment, it was a furtherance of the Russia hoax, right? They attempted to do it with Mueller. And then they quickly pivoted and they made up a whole story on Ukraine, which is equally as bad as the Russia hoax. They made it up on Ukraine. And this is another problem. I mean, the FBI, DOJ, they knew about all this. They knew about Biden's involvement in Ukraine and the Clinton Foundation's involvement in Ukraine. They had to have known about it. And so, you know, and they were able to hide it, you know, even when Trump had people running, you know, these agencies, you know, either they, you know, they either they didn't know it or they weren't willing to do anything about it. Who the hell knows? But that's how bad this has become. And so impeachments are the norm. Kicking members off committees are the norm. But that's just the deterrent part. But in order to be on offense, Victor, it's going to take an unprecedented creation of some commission, some committee with the full power of the legislative branch to go in and run a massive investigation like that's never been seen in history. And that's only going to provide a little bit of offense, because you're still going to have all the bad players at DOJ, FBI, the Biden administration. They're all still going to be there. And as you well know, you know, the biggest problem we had and continue to have is we made 14 criminal indictments involving dozens of people. And so far, you know, but we didn't have guns or ability to go out and arrest someone. All we could do is turn it over to DOJ. And now Durham, you know, is what, one for two, right? He had one person plead guilty and then he lost one in court. So it's we got a long way to go.
We do. And with that, we've covered a lot of ground, from Truth Social to the midterm elections to the perilous state of democracy and the threats from the left. And our guest today has been former representative and head of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, and currently CEO of Truth Social. And Devin, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast today.
Well, thank you so much. And Victor, as you know, I'm a big fan of the podcast, and the work that you're doing is critically important in terms of ability to communicate some sensible policies about, you know, not only the history, modern history and modern warfare, but dating back, with your ability to go back to Roman and Greek history is just incredible. So it's an honor for me to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll see you all very shortly. Thank you for listening.